Thank you, Aaron. We're going to sing this morning. Tanner for playing the piano. Now, if you're wondering why Aaron picked out a song he wasn't very familiar with, it's because he didn't pick it out. I picked him out and threw those out there. I didn't know if he would be able to at the end of the week when I talked to him about it. So I went ahead and put some song selections together. He was gracious enough to lead us through those. Those are some great old songs there that we just sang. I hope that you are familiar with them. In that, the next to last there that we sang, it says something about a song that he gives us. And I've noticed more and more in reading through the Bible and looking at various passages that the Bible talks a great deal about singing. And usually whenever there is a revival or a salvation of God's people, it's always accompanied by singing. So please pay attention to that as you're reading through the Bible, particularly the Old Testament. You see it in the prophets. You see it in the books of the law, in the history books, in the Psalms. Over and over again, we see it about singing. So it's the right thing for God's people to do is to sing when we get together, because we are recipients of His mercy and grace through the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we must be a singing people. One of the things that Brother Benji, who was here with us last week, told me about the church that he was impressed by is how well we sang. A great job. And let's continue to build on that and really sing with hearts for the Lord, a thankfulness for what He has done. We're going to be in the book of Ephesians this morning in verse 23, and I want to talk to you about getting your mind right, getting your mind right. From Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. Now, since having Benji here last week is kind of fresh on our minds, I want to point you back to verse 11 before we get to verse 23 to kind of help you see, hopefully, how spiritual giftedness works. Because in verse 11, you remember these grace gifts that we talked about that God has given to the church. And verse 7 says, "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." That's why we were calling it grace gifts. And then in verse 11, it says, "And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." I think having Benji here last week was a good reminder of how God gifts the church, and the gifts that He gives to the church are able to help build us up and edify us. Benji would have kind of fallen into that evangelist category last week as someone who came in and preached here for us at the church, and then he's back at his home church this morning. So he'd kind of fall in that category for us as evangelists, but obviously pastor and teacher there in Jacksonville, Florida, where he pastors. But just a reminder of these gifts and how important they are for us to be built up. The only verse I'll read right now is verse 23. And if you'll locate that in your copy of God's Word, I'll read it and then voice a short word of prayer. Then we'll look at getting your mind right. The Bible says in verse 23, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Let's pray together. Lord, we have so many things that seek to draw us away in our minds, in our thought life from You. And Father, we need to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. I ask You today, Father, as we look into this verse and then see what the Bible says about this, I pray, Lord, that You would help me to deliver Your word this morning in a way that builds up the body of Christ. And again, we pray, God, that if those who realize afresh today that they are still in the old man and they have that depraved mind that has not been regenerated yet, pray, God, that You would reveal to them their need for the gospel of Christ and that they would come in repentance and faith. Thank You for our time together today. In Jesus' name, amen. So getting your mind right. Has your mind changed this year? You know, there's a lot that's been said about mental health and sports. There's a lot. There was an Olympic athlete who didn't participate these past Olympics because of mental health. There may have been more than one. I know that there have been NFL football players who've taken time off because of mental health, of basketball players. It just goes on and on. You're seeing it more and more in our society today that people's minds are not right. And we, you know, most of us probably don't have the option of just taking off if we need some mental health days. But some of these individuals can. If you think about this past year, 2021, has your thought life changed any? Have your minds changed any? Have they been renewed? So often we hold on to things like pride, besetting sins that are in our lives. We grow distant from other believers. We grow distant from the church, and we just allow those things to keep perpetuating in our lives. You know, we need to be renewed. If you think about having something set up on an automatic renewal, isn't that automatic renewal great? You don't have to worry about anything expiring. It's just going to automatically renew a subscription or a membership or whatever. And, you know, unless your card is out of date and then it doesn't renew, and then you have to get all that set back up again. Our minds can be renewed, and they need to be renewed. As we look at this verse, we think of it, and it says in the spirit of our minds, and we see that it's dealing with the spiritual mindedness of a Christian. And we need this constant renewal. I shared with you the last time that I preached from Ephesians 4 2 weeks ago that the idea behind this be renewed is be perpetually renovated in the spirit of your mind. Be perpetually renovated in the spirit of your mind. You know, the old saying is you can't teach an old dog new tricks. You know, that I realized this past week that totally is not true. When they put the self-checkout in at Walmart, we all went to it the first time. We looked at it like a calf staring at a new gate. But now it's kind of smooth, isn't it? I used to bag some groceries the other day that I had to go pick up. Man, I knocked them out real quick, put them in the buggy. I was like, man, I'm good at this. But before we had to do this, I probably was not quite as good, but my mind was kind of renewed in that. We're living in an old house right now that was built in the 70s, and it's been in a perpetual state of renovation for about 4 years now. I highly recommend don't ever do it, okay? Do something else. Don't buy a house that you need to renovate. It's not a good way to go. You know, Kevin, don't do it, okay? Right now, if you come to our house, the playroom downstairs has a big hole in the ceiling. It's been there for a while. It's pretty embarrassing. You've seen it if you've been at my house, probably. But it's next up for renovation. But, you know, we so often, and we do need to be renovated in the spirit of our minds. You might ask, why do we need to be renovated? If you go back up and you see in verses 17 through 19 of Ephesians 4, He tells us why we must be renovating or renewing our mind. He says, therefore, I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. You see the futility of their mind, their understanding darkened, alienated from the life of God, ignorance that is in them, blindness of their heart. You see, that's who the old man is. That's what the mind of the old man is like. It is a godless mind. And we must be renewing our minds constantly as the people of God, else we will fall back into that system which we were once in, that thought life which we were once in. The Bible talks about the mind in other places. And Acts 14:2, the mind can be poisoned. In 1 Timothy 6:5, it can be corrupt. In 2 Corinthians 13:4, it can be blinded. In Romans 1, it can be debased. Our minds are so important. John Adams, I read this quote just recently. He said, but what do we mean American Revolution? Do we mean the American War? The revolution was effected before the war commenced. The revolution was in the minds and hearts of the people. See, that's where it started, and then it worked its way out in their lives. And so it is with us. The things that go on between our ears and our spiritual minds is what works itself out in our lives. Now, let's go to point number one, and let's kind of look through this, and I want to deal with three things. I want to see, what is this renewal? Why is this renewal needed? And then, how is this renewal possible? All right? Dennis, I don't have control of this right now. Let's go to point number one. So what is this renewal? In verse 23, you see that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I shared with you a moment ago that it's the idea of being perpetually renovated in the spirit of our minds. It's to be made young again. There's so much money, time, effort spent in trying to keep our physical bodies young. But what God is calling us to in His Word is to keep our minds renewed, keep them fresh according to the Word of God and according to the mind of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, he says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And then later on he says, but we have the mind of Christ. I want to give you kind of a rundown of the idea of renewal in the New Testament. And I think I've given you the list of verses there on your handout. In Titus chapter 3, it tells us there that we've been renewed by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. That renewing of the Holy Spirit has taken place in our lives. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, Paul tells us there that we are being renewed day by day. In Colossians 3:12, he tells us that we have been renewed according to the knowledge of God. And then in Romans chapter 12, as we saw last week, in Romans 12, Paul told the Romans, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So at least four different places there where we see the idea of renewal taking place. The interesting thing about this in Ephesians 4 is it is in the passive voice. It is in the passive voice. What that means is this isn't something that we can do for ourselves. It is something that has to be done for us. Now, if you think about the house that we are renovating, that house is not renovating itself. It is being renovated by those who occupy it. And the idea that Paul really seems to be driving home here in this is that we must be renewed by the one who is occupying us, or by who we truly are in Christ. And you see on both the before and after Ephesians 4:23, before it in verse 22, he talks about the old man. In verse 24, he talks about the new man. And the idea that Paul seems to be getting at here is that the new man, as we are putting off the old man, that new man in us is causing our minds to be renewed. So it's something that's happening to us. So what is this renewal? It is a passive, it is something where we are passive in it, but God is actively renewing us by His Spirit that indwells us, that new man who is within us. The second thing we see here is, why is this renewal needed? Why is this renewal needed? I'll give you two things. Number one is this. It's because the old man has a godless mind that results in godless conduct. The old man has a godless mind that results in godless conduct. We saw that in verses 17 through 19. Now, I want to take you over to Psalms. If you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 10. And I want to kind of read through this chapter real quick. And I hope that we will see from this, as I read through it, what this godless mind looks like. Why it's so important that we are renewing our minds as the people of God. In Psalm 10, this is really the thoughts of the wicked. And this exposes what's going on in his heart and in his mind. And this is exactly what can happen to us if we are not, as the people of God, renewing our minds, being renewed in the spirit of our minds. All right, so why is this renewal needed? If you'll look with me at Psalm 10, I'll start reading at verse 1. He says, "Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God." What's the next part say? "God is in none of his" what? "Thoughts. His ways are always prospering. Your judgments are far above, out of his sight. For all his enemies, he sneers at them. He has said in his heart, 'I shall not be moved. I shall not be in adversity.' His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. He sits in the lurking places of the villages, in the secret places. He murders the innocent. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. He lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He catches the poor when he draws them into his net. So he crouches, he lies low, that the helpless may fall by his strength. He has said in his heart, 'God has forgotten. God hides his face. He will never see.'" See, this is exposing the thoughts of the wicked. Verse 12. "Arise, O Lord. O God, lift up your hand. Do not forget the humble. Why do the wicked renounce God? He has said in his heart, 'You will not require an account.' But you have seen, for you observe trouble and grief to repay it by your hand. The helpless commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless." I'll stop there. But you saw in verse 6, he says, "I shall not be moved. I shall never see adversity." In verse 11, he says, "God has forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see." Verse 13, he says, "You will not require an account." All those things expose what's going on in the heart of one who is not having their mind renewed, one who is living according to the old man and not the new man. Let's go back to the book of Ephesians. If you look at Ephesians chapter 2, we learn here a little bit as well about what's going on in our minds. Ephesians chapter 2. You see, the old man has a godless mind that results in godless conduct. All right? Ephesians 2, starting at verse 1. "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh." Notice what he says. "Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the" what? "Mind. And were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." So the old man has a godless mind that results in godless conduct. Number two, the new man can and must have a Godward mind to live a Godward life. The new man can and must have a Godward mind to live a Godward life. "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." Proverbs 23, verse 7. "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." Everything about us as a Christian has been made new. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And you see, it is extremely dangerous to live according to the old man. It is extremely dangerous to live that fleshly mind, that carnal mind. Paul wrote about this in Romans chapter 8. He says in Romans 8, "For to be carnally minded is death, But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So we need our thought lives reformed. We need our thought lives constantly renewed. Christians in America, it seems, have this laissez-faire idea that everything's just going to work itself out in our lives. It's kind of an attitude toward obedience and growth in Christ that we have. And we forget places in the Bible where it talks about the Pharisees in Luke chapter 7, verse 30, where they rejected the will of God for their lives. We forget about in Luke 13, 34 in Jerusalem, where the Lord longed to gather them as a hen gathers her chicks, but they refused. And we forget about the church in Laodicea that was lukewarm in their thoughts and their life toward God. And Jesus said that he would spit them out of his mouth. How many of us, though, are lukewarm right now? How many of us are content with leaving our thought lives to be just like the old man? The things that we're thinking about, we know that they don't please God. We are going down a road that we know. We know it by either our conscience as a lost person. You know that it is against the ways of God. Or as a Christian, the Holy Spirit's convicting you of it. But yet we are continuing down that path of a thought life and a mind that is much more worldly and carnal, much more old man than it is new man. Too many of us are relying on the momentum of the past, and we're not gaining any traction in the present. See, I've been there. I've been in that place where I wasn't gaining any momentum. It's not a pleasant place to be at all. It's not pleasant to be there for very long. You can get stale like an old loaf of bread, and that's no way to be. It's not good to be there spiritually. Old Testament Israel was this way. They had all kinds of religious stuff going on, but they weren't really worshiping God. In Isaiah 58, he told them, don't trust in your fasting. In Jeremiah chapter 7, he said, don't trust in the temple of the Lord, because that's what they were trusting in. In Ezekiel 14, the elders had the idols in their hearts, even though they weren't worshiping them right there in front of them. In the book of Hosea, they would say, my God, we know you, but yet they had a form of worship that was completely opposed to the things that God had taught in the Old Testament there in the Northern Kingdom. They had gone against God. They were doing things the way they wanted to do it rather than the way that God had said. And then in the Old Testament, we see often, so often, these household idols. Even Rachel brought Laban's out from her homeland and stole it. And they have these household idols that are kind of tucked away there in their homes, and they worship them. But what do we see happen to those household idols later on? It became full-blown adultery, idolatry, and it was spiritual adultery as they rejected God and the relationship that they had with Him. And where did it all start? It started with the thought of worshiping something and doing something different than the way God said to do it. And it resulted in full-blown idolatry. Just like I said, Jerusalem had more idols on its streets than Alabama has Dollar Generals on its. They're all over the place. But what are these household idols? Where did all this come from? It started between the ears, in the mind of the person. For them, it was an unrenewed mind. Paul says in Ephesians 4:23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You might say, how do we do that? If you look at verse 22, he tells us, put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. In essence, you can't wear dirty clothes and clean clothes all at the same time. That's not the way it works. You can't have the old man on and have the old and the new man on at the same time. That's not the way it works. Paul is saying, put the old man off. Put off the former conduct and put on the new man. And as we position ourselves for that renewal, so it happens by the Spirit of God at work in us. I've been trying to learn Isaiah 55 lately. And he says in there, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways." Listen to this. "And the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." But he's talking about thoughts here, but what's the key to getting our thoughts aligned up with God's? I think maybe in the next part he tells us. Because he says, "As the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth to make it bring forth and bud, to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish what I please and prosper in the thing for which I sent it." See, it's through the Word of God. And when the Word of God comes to our lives and makes a difference in our lives, it changes us. The next part of Isaiah tells us that. Because he says there that he says, You shall go forth with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth in singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come forth the cypress tree. Instead of the briar shall come forth the myrtle tree. You see, when God's Word renews us, and God's Word can renew us, it changes us, and it changes our thorns to cypress trees, and our briars to myrtle trees, and the trees clap their hands, and the mountains and the hills break forth in singing. It is a spiritual renewal that takes place. And I can only testify to you and say, it's true. God really does it. Because I mean, I've gone through several years, I feel like just recently, where I was really in a difficult place, a place of sort of depression. And the Lord gives renewal. But it comes through begging Him and through pleading to Him and staying in His Word. That's the only way it's going to happen. 1 Corinthians 13:11, Paul says, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." Paul's mind was changed. In the last point, how is this renewal possible? How is this renewal possible? Number one here, I want to remind you that renewal is something that happens to us. God does it to us. It's something that happened to us. We've been renewed, the renewing of the Holy Spirit, Titus 3:5. But also, number two, renewal is something we position ourselves for. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, I want to very quickly deal with something that the church knows. If you've been around New Life very long, you know that this is something that we've talked about before. And I want to be real practical with everyone on this, even though I hope most of us have no idea what I'm talking about or never do. But it's the idea of pornography, and it's something that's so prevalent in our culture for men, and it's growing in that for women. Pornography use for a Christian, man or woman, is something where you keep feeding the mind of the old man. See, it doesn't make any sense. You keep feeding the mind of the old man, and your new man mind will not be renewed. When that trash and that is going into us, we're just giving ourselves over to it. The old man is leading the way rather than the new man. Does that make sense? We just can't. And if there's anyone still dabbling in that stuff now, still in it, we must repent of it. You must put it off. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God." See, and brothers, if you are fighting the fight and you're seeking to put it off, or sisters, if you're fighting the fight and seeking to put it off, you keep fighting because you're doing the right thing. And you keep pursuing God and His Word, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It is possible through Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me go ahead and hit our points of application this morning. Number one is this. Got three things here. Get right, get resolved, and get ready. Get right, get resolved, and get ready. As we think about what Paul is saying here, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We need to get right. There may be people here today, you need to repent. You need to repent of your thought life. You need to repent of the things that you've been putting into your mind. You know they don't honor the Lord. You know that they don't feed the new man, but they feed the old man. We need to repent. We are repenters. As Christians, we walk the way of repentance. We may veer this way a little bit, or we may veer this way a little bit, but we are leading a repenter's life, a life toward God in repentance. So God is calling us to repentance, to no longer live a lukewarm life, to no longer live a life that shows that we are like at ease in Zion. A.W. Tozer defined apathy as living off yesterday's momentum. You see, we've got to be pressing on, forgetting those things which are behind, and pressing on toward Christ Jesus. Number two is get resolved. Stop wavering between two opinions. Stop wavering between the old man and the new man. We all fight the fight. We're all in the battle together. But God is calling us to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Elijah talked to the Israelites in 1 Kings, and he says, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, serve Him. If Baal is God, serve Him." God is calling us to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. And in doing so, we must stop faltering. We must get resolved. And then number three is get ready. Get ready. We have the armor of God upon us. We are spiritually ready because our spiritual minds are prepared as we are being renewed. And what do we have on? We have on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation. And we have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we take up on the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Where does it all begin? It must begin in the renewing of the mind of the Christian, the child of God. Today, are you still the old man? Are you still in bondage to the old man? Have you ever come to Jesus Christ for salvation? He delivers you from that, and He continues to deliver you from that. And He empowers us by the new man that is within us to live for Him, that our minds might be made right with Him, and we can live for His glory. I pray that you'll come to Him today if you have not yet. Let's pray together. Lord, every one of us need this. Every one of us need this renewal. And God, I pray that as we continue to pursue you through your word, that as the psalmist said, I pray, God, that you would revive us again, O Lord, that your people may rejoice in you. May we find, Lord, our minds being renewed day by day through your word, through communion with you. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive me for the living off yesterday's momentum. And God, I pray that we would stop doing that and that we would live off what's happening in our life today and how you're reviving us and renewing us, and that we will pursue that every single day. Lord, we thank you that you do this, that you don't leave us in our carnal minds, but you, God, give us a spiritual mind for which we can love you, pursue you, and not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Bless your word to our hearts today, Lord, for any who are lost and know that they're not in Christ and need a Savior. I pray today they will trust in him. In Jesus' name.